Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Chet, and we're right in the middle of the very important machloket about the nature of Yerushat Eretz Yisrael. And we had three different shitot about the way that such Yerusha worked. And the basis of the problem is that the Pasuk has contradictory indications. On the one hand, there's a whole census at the time of Pinchas, at the end of which, listing every person over the age of 20, it says, Le'elet Echalik Ha'aretz. And then, for some reason, it also mentions that it's referring to the Shmot Matot Avotam. And the Shmot Matot Avotam, the Gemara darshens yesterday, cannot mean the name of the Shevet, per se, but rather it means the actual people that were there in the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And so the question is, which of the two is meant? Is it to Le'elet Echalik Ha'aretz, the ones who were alive in the census immediately prior to Knisa La'aretz, or was it the Lishmot Matot Avotam, which are the ones who were alive at the actual time of the Yitziah, but not at the time of the Knisa? And so, the Tanoim Rechalik, we have three approaches to this. Our Mishnah seems to say that because Tzolofchad himself, Chalek Avim Shayim Yotzei Mitzrayim, since Tzolofchad himself was a Yotzei Mitzrayim, even though he didn't survive the Knisa La'aretz, he had his own chelek, certainly seems to be saying that the people who left Mitzrayim got a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And that is going according to Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says that the entire chalukah was not done according to the people that were there. It was done according to people that had left. The only reason that it mentions La'ela Techalikat Ha'aretz means to people like those counted in this census. Just like this census is only the Anshei Tzavah from the age of 20. Anyone who was a dependent at the time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim did not get their own chalik. But that's the only point of mentioning La'ela Techalikat Ha'aretz. The other approach was Rabbi Yonatan was almost the opposite. La'ela Techalikat Ha'aretz, the chalukah was done only in terms of the Nichnasim Be'eretz Yisrael. Why then does it mention Lishmot Matot Avotam, which the Gemara was Medayik Agav, has to mean the actual people that were there and not the names of the Shvatim, because Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu he's going to give those people to whom Moshe is being sent to, they're going to be given the Nachlat Avotam. So how does he explain the fact that it does say the opposite? It also says Lishmot Matot Avotam. So he comes up with a brilliant interpretation, Rabbi Yonatan, that what actually happens is that the chalukah was done according to the number of people that were nechlas and Eretz Yisrael. But that chalukah was then put back in time to pretend that it had been inherited by the head of the family at the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, and therefore the chalukah would not have been actually given as stated. Because let's say, for instance, we had a family that had two brothers. So let's take the family of Benot Tzolofchad. Let's pretend that Chefer only had two sons. In fact, there were more. But let's pretend that Chefer had two sons. And one of these sons had 10 children by the time they were Nechlas and La'aretz. And one of these sons, I'm talking about surviving sons, besides Benot Tzolofchad. And one of these sons had one child. Okay, so now, let's say, ignoring the Benot Tzolofchad problem, to Chefer, there was a total of 11 chalakim. Those 11 chalakim would, if it had only been given to the ones who were nichnasim la'aretz, would have been extremely inequitable. Because what would have happened is one person would have had a portion that was equivalent to 10 people if it had been given to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. If it was given to the ones that were nichnasim la'aretz, so then everything would have been perfect, l'chor, right? But the problem is that there is a don't give it to the people that are nichnasim la'aretz, okay? Give it also to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So how did this work? It worked, according to Rabbi Yonatan, that we took those 11 chalokim, gave it back, all the way back to Chefer, split it up between the two sons of Chefer, and then each one of those sons got 5.5 chalokim of the 11. Then the 10 children split 5.5, and the one child got the 5.5. Okay, so according to the way Rabbi Yosha was learning it, it would go straight out 10 and 1. So in other words, the 10 would get only 1/10 as much. We would have liked to say that it would have been precisely equal, and that each one was given this, which we thought was what Rabbi Yonatan was saying. Turns out it's not equal, but it's not as badly unequal as Rabbi Yoshia said. It's just that they will split now 5.5. One son will get 5.5, and 10 sons will get 5.5. Our Mishnah is saying that he got because he was out of Yotzei Mitzrayim. Slavkot was dead at the time of Knesset Haaretz, and here it's saying that he got a separate chelek. According to this approach, the only chelek that he would have received would have been his share in Hefer's chelek, which would have been transferred to Benot Slavkot, which is true. But the fact is, Benot Slavkot, according to the Mishnah, got more than that. They got a separate chelek for Hefer through Slavkot, and they also got Slavkot's own chelek. So obviously that can't be. Rabbi Yonatan is out, in terms of the Mishnah. Then we add a third shita, which is Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar's shita is that this is not a contradiction. It's referring to different cases. So that if someone were from the Yotzei Mitzrayim, then that person would be Yoresh as a Yotzei Mitzrayim. If a person was from the Nichnasim La'aretz, again, when we say was, we mean he was over 20. If he was in Bein the Nichnasim La'aretz, then he would be Yoresh as a Nichnas La'aretz. If he were both, which is either referring to the same person being both, because he was Yoshua or Kalev or someone over 60 years old, he could be from both, he would have gotten two chalakim. So in other words, the chalakim were split over two generations. They were split over the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Let's say there were 100,000 men that were Yotzei Mitzrayim, and let's say there were 200,000 men that were Nichnas La'aretz. Obviously, numbers completely off by the sense, but let's pretend. So that means there were a total of 300,000 chalakim. So Mimela, we would have now taken those 300,000 chalakim, and each person would have gotten whatever was available. If Lamaisi was in, he himself was over 20 years old when he was Nichnas, he would have his own chalak. If his father was alive at the time of the Yitziah, so he would also get a chalak in his father's. So it depends. Both are true. Which, of course, our Mishnah could also be going according to. Be no problem. So three very different interpretations. Let us start now once again at the three lines up in the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin, because I saw that it was getting a little confusing. So we'll start afresh now with the different questions. Rav Pup actually has six different issues that he brings up here. They're all Rav Pup's issues, and they're being brought up to Abai. So first he raises the question of how the words in the Pasuk make sense. If you're going to tell me that Eretz Yisrael was given according to the ones who left Mitzrayim, then the pasuk that says "L'rav tarbe nachlato v'lamat tamit nachlato," where it's talking about now how exactly to split up Eretz Yisrael in Pinchas, each lefi pikudav yutan nachlato. So then I understand if you're telling me that it is possible to have a Rav Tarben Nachlato, that would mean, I mean, it can't be just saying a trivial point, that everyone who has a Nachla has a Nachla. I mean, then that's something. Obviously, the number of people in the family will be the size of the Chelek, if you're giving everybody the same Chelek. But, so that doesn't make any sense. That's if you would hold the Nichlasim La'aretz. But, if you hold the Yotzei Mitzrayim, you can easily conceive. It's coming to address, basically, the strange changes that could take place, because what it would be saying is that in a case, for instance, as the Sifri puts it, it says, L'rav tarben achlato. So if you started off with a family with 10 kids, you're leaving Mitzrayim, okay? You enter into Eretz Yisrael, now there's only 5 kids. So that was a large family in Mitzrayim, L'rav tarben achlato, because each and every one of them is going to get a lot more than other people would get. On the other hand, you had a smaller family. Let's say you had 5 children coming out of Mitzrayim, and now you're a large family, but you're a ma'at family in terms of Eretz Mitzrayim. So that would be la ma'at tam it nachalato. Each one is going to be getting less, because now you would have thought, okay, there's so many kids now, we should at least take that into consideration. Kamash malan, since we go according to Yotzei Mitzrayim, that we don't. But if you're telling me, laman yom l'boy ha'aretz, this doesn't make sense at all. What are you telling me? L'rav tarben nachalato. What does it mean, L'rav tarben nachlato? Everybody took precisely the same thing. That's what it appears to be saying. So if that's the case, the pasuk is meaningless. Now, you would say that it makes a lot of sense because of the din of Chazorah. In other words, even if you hold that it was given L'boi Ha'aretz, which is what Rabbi Yonatan holds, we proved yesterday that Rabbi Yonatan has to agree that ultimately it comes from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. The only machlokas between Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshia was whether it was given back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, so that what the Yotzei Mitzrayim had is a reflection of the number of descendants that they have jointly when they come into Eretz Yisrael, or whether it's just the Yotzei Mitzrayim. That's the machloket. But they both agree that it does come, the Yerusha, from Yotzei Mitzrayim. The only question is, how do we split it and then give it to the Yotzei Mitzrayim? In which case, we're not really asking much of a question. What's bothering Rav Papa? If ultimately you're saying that it is not given equitably according to either approach, so that's what the pasuk would be telling you. If you've got a family that was a lot of people as given back to Mitzrayim, so it would still need to be reflected in the number of people that were splitting that single chelek. In this case, the 5.5 in our example, not the 10. Whatever, but it's the same thing, isn't it? So the Rashbam addresses this question by explaining two points that once you recognize and understand that this is not an answer. Point number one is, the basis of the halacha of Chazara was a straightforward analysis of the contradiction in the Pesukim. Is it Le'ela or is it Lishmot Matot Avotam? This Pesuk adds no information. Therefore, our question stands, because that was the question in the first place. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with the Pesuk. What's wrong with it is that it's trivial. But it remains trivial, since all the information that it's telling me, I already knew. This is how I arrived in the first place at the whole din of Chazorah. That was the remarkable Chiddush. Once you tell me Chazorah, I mean, enough brains to figure out myself, then obviously it depends on the number of people that are there and how many cousins are going to be sharing the same portion of the parents. So that's number one. But the other problem is that the way that the Pasuk talks about the issue over here is that it's in terms of the chelek, leila techaleika aretz, that chaluka is not larav or lama'at. Everybody's the same. The fact that in the end that chaluka goes back to the people in Mitzrayim is irrelevant. Because we're not talking about the chalukah at that point. We're talking about an inheritance for people in Mitzrayim. So if you hold that the chalukah was done according to the people in Mitzrayim, fine, then it makes sense. Here's how to be chelek the aretz, even though it ends up being larav and lama'at, and it's different depending on the number of heirs that will come into Eretz Yisrael. But according to the Ma'ad Yomer, that's Chazorah, the chalukah is done entirely and only in terms of le'ela, each one exactly even. What happens afterwards always is what happens when you inherit. Obviously, it'll depend on the number of people in the family. So again, that can't be what the Pasuk was referring to. So we have, therefore, a kasha. I mean, you can tell me that that's what the Pasuk means, but I'm not happy with it. That's what kasha means. I mean, I'm not saying that it's fatal, but it certainly seems trivial or simply repetitive. Okay, fine, you're right, kasha. We don't particularly understand how that Tana really is going to explain that Pasuk. Now, the second thing I want to know, he said, is Bishlam Alaman Yomel Yotzei Mitzrayim. If you're going to tell me that the entire Yerusha was in terms of Yotzei Mitzrayim, it makes sense that Benot Zlofchad were complaining. I know the Katzavcha, Benot Zlofchad. But because they're saying, well, I mean, we ought to inherit the portion of Zlofchad who was Yotzei Mitzrayim. But if you hold Leboi Haaretz, so then they know, we said all along, they understand that girls were not given only to people in the census. People in the census were the males between 20 and 60. So I understand, what are they, stupid? What are they complaining about? And how in the end did we give it to them? So what's their issue? Their problem is that their father's chelek, they weren't given. Well, the father didn't have a chelek. He wasn't alive when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So what are they complaining about? I mean, halete, he's not alive, Tzlofchad. Halete delishkel, he wasn't alive at the time of Knis Laretz, that they should complain and say, our poor father, what happened to his chelek? Exactly what happened to everyone else's poor father. He didn't get a chelek. So what are they complaining about? No, but they still have what to complain. It was about Chazorah. Remember that the Man D'Yomer Rabbi Yonatan who holds that it was given Leboi Haaretz is made that Chefer had a chelek. Who was the head of the family at the time of Yotzei Mitzrayim? Chefer. Okay, so if that's the case, the portion of all of the descendants that came into Eretz Yisrael wasn't given to them directly. It was first given back to Chefer. Now Chefer, again, theoretically, but this is the way the Torah puts it. The dead inherit the living. So now Chefer inherits his grandchildren. Okay, so now what happened? Chefer died, so to speak, after inheriting. I mean, he died way before he inherited them, but the same thing. So he dies now, leaving his portion to their father, Tzlofchad. So their father being dead, they want that portion. What's wrong now? Even according to that man, the Amar. I mean, it's not the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that they got the portion of Tzlofchad, besides the portion of Chefer. But everybody holds that they certainly had what to complain about, no matter how you understand the Yerusha. Either they were complaining about Tzlofchad, or they were complaining about Tzlofchad, Tzchelek, and Chefer, or they were complaining about both, because Chefer was also from the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So they certainly have what to complain about. Okay? Bishleima, okay, so my next point is, all right, so you've answered that. But Bishleima, the man, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, if you hold that we go according to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and then it's irrelevant how many people were in the Shevet at the time of Knesset La'aretz, because it's all going back to the parents. So then that explains why Bnei Yosef were miserable when they went to Yoshua. Because Bnei Yosef come along and they tell Yoshua, this is unfair. They tell Yoshua, Madua natata li nachala gora lachad v'chev lachad v'ani amra ad asher ko berchani Adonai. So ko is a remnant to the 25,000 chafei. They were 25,000 additional people between the two censuses. So obviously they're going to be miserable. This is crazy. Nobody else had such an increase of population. And yet we're stuck... We're stuck with the same number of pieces to split between three times as many people as the other Shvatim. Is that fair? So, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But if you're going to tell me that, so, you increase, God bless you. And that was a remez to the Ko Yezarecha. The Ko Yezarecha was Mekuyim in the Bnei Yosef. So in the census, they actually had exactly the 25,000 additional people. So we tell them to Zayge benched. We gave each and every one of them a chelek. So what are you complaining about? If you're telling me it goes according to the number of people at the time of Knesset La'aretz, this is an entirely absurd discussion. So what are they upset about? My katzafri, why are they angry? Kulu shakal, every last one of them got a chelek. Says the Gemara, no. Most of them were underage. That's the point. We're talking about this very fertile Shevet, so obviously the most recent population gain is, by definition, it's a geometric increase. But the geometric increase to the 25,000 was the most recently born. They're not 20 years old yet, which means they don't get a chelek. So Bnei Yosef are looking at it with horror. Oh my God, what's going to be next generation? These kids are going to grow up and they're going to have to split the same amount that the other Shvatim is splitting between one-third of the people. That's not fair. So then that would be their taina to Yoshua. Yes?
Doesn't each tribe get larger or smaller sizes of the
Rabbi Yaakov is raising. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov is raising an issue, which he's raising it in the opposite direction, which it should be raised. But because we are assuming now that what you just said was correct, namely that each shevet was given according to the size of the shevet, but then it was given according to the size of the shevet in Mitzrayim, according to this man, the Omar, who holds the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So if you hold it was given Yotzei Mitzrayim, if by the time you come into Eretz Yisrael, your population is tripled as opposed to the other Shvatim where the population was basically stable, then you're going to complain because you're going to say, this isn't fair. Why don't you take into consideration our current population and not our original population? Because now is... Right. However, we're going to see that it's by no means clear that at a Shevet was given the property according to the size of the Shevet. That's the assumption that we're making now. And therefore, it's only a problem if you hold that the chelek was defined according to the number of people that were alive at Yetzias Mitzrayim. If Lamaisa Eretz Yisrael was split equally among the Shvatim,
equal
sizes. Yeah, I mean, taking into consideration, of course, mountain, plain, water, so on and so forth, but that it was split up between 12 Shvatim. So then, you're going to have this taina no matter where it was split up, because we're given al pi goral the size of a typical shevet. It's the same size as anybody else. Then I don't care how you define the Yerusha within the shevet, whether it's Liyotze Mitzrayim or Linichlase La'aretz, because then, of course, they would complain anyway. How can you give all of the Shvatim the same size when we have double the number of people? Then that would be the obvious explanation. But Rav Papa took for granted that the machlokus over here about whether it was chaluka aliba knisa la'aretz or chaluka according to the Yetzias Mitzrayim was the irregardless of the Shevet. In other words, first we're going to define the number of personal chalokim. Then we'll give those personal chalokim to the Shevet. Not first we define the area of the Shevet and then we decide how to split it up. Because then he would have no question. Later we're going to see that itself is certainly not obvious that it's a personal chalak. It would seem the opposite, that each Shevet was given a equivalent chalak. Okay, that's fine. Yoshua doesn't do anything. That's true. That's what he says. Okay, so the explanation, therefore, according to him, would be the tefillin, because of dependence. They were under the age of 20. Da'avi nefishe lehu, that they had a lot of, and that they felt wasn't fair. Omer Abaye says, Abaye, I just want to point out something over here. The whole story of Benot Zelofchad, now that you've brought up Bnei Yosef, that really shows something important. Because Lamaisa, anybody who had what to complain about is recorded as complaining that they're not getting a proper chelek. The only ones that were recorded were Benot Zelofchad. Now, how come nobody else complained? You'll say, why would they complain? For a very simple reason. The way we've worked it out, there could be a lot of people that didn't get a chelek at all. Because if Lamaisa were talking about being less than 20 years old at the time of Knesset Laharet, and they did not have a father who was 20 years old at the time of the Yetziah, then they would get nothing. They didn't get not from Yotzei Mitzrayim and not from Nichnasim Laharet. So, I mean, that must have left out a lot of guys, right? So it appears from here, says Abaye, that actually this never happened. In other words, either because they did have a father or they were old enough, or even if not, there was no one who was left out from a Yerusha because of the death of an uncle that didn't have his own children, that wasn't given over to the brother's children, who indeed may be underage, but they're still going to be mekabel that chelek. The only one that had a problem was the fact that we didn't want to give a chelek to the Benot Zelofchad because they were girls and there were no boys in the family. So they thought that Zelofchad, they were going to be left basically without any Yerusha at all, which was unheard of. But apparently, says Abaye, it was indeed unheard of. I mean, otherwise, how come we don't hear about the 579,000 suits that were brought and we only hear about one of them? I mean, it must have been a real backup in the Beis Din over there.
Why can't they be sort of like a binyan of people like that?
So why would we have recorded only them?
So let them be the ones.
Okay, we'll see what the Gemara answers. Omer Abaye lo shaka. Must be that it never worked out for anybody that they shouldn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Because Isaac that avichad de lo shaka. If there would have been such a person, why wasn't he in court? He boil a mitzvah. But chitim, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that we only record successful suits. And as our president just pointed out, well, what the heck are you supposed to do about it? So it's unfair. So Yoshua will smile at them and say, I feel your pain. No, so what's the, why record it? So v'chitema, maybe you'll say that dafka, that v'tzovach v'hane, people who sued and won, which is only Benot Zelofchad, that's what we record, katvikra. But v'tzovach v'loahane, people who sued and didn't get anything for it, why bother listing unsuccessful suits? Lokat Vekrov, that's not true. Because again, as our president points out, the most prominent unsuccessful suit was Bnei Yosef. So when it comes to Bnei Yosef, Yoshua basically dismisses them with sarcasm. Right? So Bnei Yosef Tzavke Velo Ahane and Vikatvinu Kro, how come we record an unsuccessful suit by Bnei Yosef? Well, no, you see, over there, this sarcasm itself teaches us a very important lesson. Because remember, Bnei Yosef come to Yoshua, and they started complaining, and we don't have anything left, because after all, I mean, there's all these tanks down in the valley, and up in the mountains, there's all these forests, we don't have where to plant. I mean, we're really, really a bunch of whining disasters, basically, is what it boiled down to. So Yoshua starts telling them, well, you know, if there's so many people, maybe it's not a bad idea to live in the forest. That way the trees will cover you and the INR won't be shaled on you. I mean, it's a good idea. So indeed, this would be the Eitzah Teva Kamash. I mean, Lamaisa, we do learn out a lesson from that whole conversation. I mean, he's not stomp talking stupid. If he's saying, okay, go up to the mountains, if you're so many people, that's exactly where you belong. If you have so many people that you've got what to complain about, then you should be living among the trees. So go up to the mountain, go up to the forest in the mountain. Amarlo, he's telling them, indeed, I mean, all you're talking about is the number of people you got. You keep talking about that. You're going to give yourself an INR? Omar Lay says, we're not worried about no iron horror. We want our chelek. We don't have a problem with iron horror because we come from Yosef. And by Yosef it says, Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ale Ayin. V'yomer Abiyavu, Altikri Ale Ayin, Ela Ole Ayin. Those who are above the power of the eye. Whereas Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chanina brings it Be'ancha. V'yidgu Larov Bekerav Haaretz. V'yidgu means fishes. Ma Dagim Shebeyam Mayim Bechassim Aleim V'yina Ayin Sholetet Be'en. So just like, at least before that sonar mishigas, they were never able to be hunted down because you didn't know where they were, so the iron isn't trailing on them, so they get away with vast populations. So too we, the Bnei Yosef, have no problems. Avzar Rosh Yosef, in iron sholetet ben, but lamaisa, unsuccessful suits that don't teach you anything, were not recorded. The end result of the unsuccessful suit of B'nai Yosef, of course, was a very important historical marker in which we threw the responsibility back to the Shevet for other issues, not the dinim of Nachala per se. The next thing we had in the Mishnah was that the Meraglim, Yoshua v'Kolev Naklu Chelkam. That's odd. Where would we get that from? Mino ani mile. Omar Ula, the Omar Kra, the Yoshua bin Nun, the Chalev ben Yifune, Choyu mina anashim ha'im, Ochin la Torah Taretz. What do you mean, Choyu? They lived. Obviously, they lived. I mean, it says Beferish. In a couple of places. I mean, so what is this Choyu? Ilema Choyu mamash, that they survived. For that, I need a pasuk. It says Beferish that the Ktivka Achrina, V'lo notar mehem ish, ki im Kalev ben Yifuneh v'Yoshua bin Nun. This is like a refrain in Nevi'im. So what's the Chiddush over here of Choyu? It must be my Choyu means Shechoyu b'chalkam. They were enlivened, meaning they were given money from Mina Anashim, which teaches us that they were Yoresh, the Chalek of the Meraglim. Mitlonani, which we take to mean now, but we'll see that it doesn't mean that, we'll take to mean now the people who complained in the Midbar. The people who complained in the Midbar over the course of 40 years. Oh, man. We can, that's, the Gemara's going to ask this later. But, yeah. The bright. I'm sorry if I said Mishnah. The Mitlonanim v'adat Korach lo ayalahem chelek ba'aretz. So, here it says that there's a difference between the chelek of Meraglim was given to Yoshua and Kalev, and the Mitlonanim and Adat Korach, they beklal didn't get a chelek. That's what our brayta says. The problem is, v'atanya, there's another brayta that says Meraglim, Mitlonanim, v'Adat Korach were all the same. And Yoshua and Kalev were natlu chelkam. Not that they were put back into the common kitty, but that surprisingly, Yoshua and Kalev inherited not only the chelek of the Meraglim, but even the chelek of the Mitlonanim and Adat Korach. So, which way is it?
The offspring of these question.
Yeah, that's true. But they're a chelek, whatever, as the case may be. Lokasha. That's not a problem. There is indeed a machloket that we're aware of. And that machloket is there a hekesh in the pasuk between the Meraglim and the others or not? Mar makish mitlonanim l'meraglim, umar lo makish mitlonanim l'meraglim. And when I say there is a machloket, let me identify it for you. The Tanya. You'll notice that the Benot Slovchad, in their suit, clarify quite a few issues to us because they brought a very well thought out suit. So what they say is, whereas Avinu Meit Bamidbar, this refers to Slovchad, and whereas Hu Lo Haya B'Toch Ha'Eda. Now the Eda, of course, Ad Matai Ha'Eda Hara'a Hazot, is a reference to the Adat HaMeraglim. All right, and whereas he was not included in those who were Noadim al Hashem, which is a reference to the Mitlonanim. Now, Lamaisa, if it's a reference to the Mitlonanim, the only place we find the words Hanoadim al Hashem was what Moshe Rabbeinu told the 250 men that had come along with Korach, that you should know, Lo aleinu tulunatchem ki yim al Hashem. So this would be the Mitlonanim al Hashem. And indeed, we're going to find out that that was the reference. It's not a reference to anybody who complained throughout the time of the Midbar. It's dafka to the rebellion of Korach. And Adat Korach means the actual family of Korach, Gamash Ma'o. So that's the next whereas. And whereas he was not a member of the Korach family. So now we know that they're all put together here, right? So Benot Slovchad include three different issues. Meraglim, Mitlonanim, and Adat Korach. Mar Makish, Mitlonanim, Mitlonanim and Meraglim. Since they're put together, one man, the Omer holds, they have the same din. If the Meraglim were given to Yoshua and to Kalev, as it says, Chayu Min HaAnashim, then so too the Mitlonanim were given over. One man, the Omer holds, since it doesn't say above here to compare the Meraglim with the Adat Korach with the Mitlonanim, it just puts it all together. That's not a valid hekesh. Because on the surface, it's referring to one thing. The Omer layer of Papa La Abaye. Well, a man de makish Mitlonanim l'Meraglim. If you hold that the Mitlonanim were also given to Yoshua v'Kalev. So you're telling me that basically, Ichpo Yoshua v'Kalev, Yart of Vekul Eretz Yisrael. I mean, who else? I mean, everybody complained. So in other words, Yoshua v'Kalev, Lamaisa. I mean, we know from Sefer Yoshua that it was a very small portion that was given to them. According to what you have it, you know, 90% of the country belongs to Yoshua v'Kalev, because that's all we need is for every complainer to have given his nakla to them. That doesn't make sense. Omar Lay said, Abayatim, you're missing the point. The Mitlonanim that it's referring to over here, we were Medayik from Hanoadim, and those were only the Mitlonanim, the 250 men that were there together with Adat Korach. I mean, not anyone who complained. Who Okay, so now brings up Rav Papa a further point that's nogeya the original issues, that now that we've got all of this behind us, let me understand the actual way that Menashe's halakim were given out. After the suit, Benot Tzlofchot come along, and they tie again to Yoshua. They tell Yoshua, you will recall that Moshe Rabbeinu told us at the time that we were supposed to get the chelek. And so they go ahead and they give out that chelek, and it says that they gave chevlei Menashe, vayiplu chevlei Menashe. The word chevel means a chelek because a surveyor's chevel, a rope, is usually used to measure the chelek. So too a chelek is called a lot, because you use a goral to measure out the lot. So the lottery and the lot are equivalents. So the chavlei Menashe, the areas of Menashe, were 10. Now how do you get 10? You get 10 because there were 6 batei avot that were written right above the story. It mentioned the six matot that were actually mentioned in the Chumash itself. And then there were 4 halakim that were given apparently to Benot Tzlofchad after this suit. Equals 10. Now the truth is that that strikes you right off the bat as being ridiculous, because the two issues are members of different sets. The chelek of Benot Tzlofchad was not a chelek of a batei av, it was a personal chelek. Whereas the other 6 halakim are the 6 halakim of the batei avot in Mitzrayim. How the heck would we throw in 4 personal lots into the 6 lots of the batei avot when they're all really subsidiary to the batei avot? And Mamanushach, if you want to talk about all the personal lots, so mention them. But you can't throw in 4 of one and 6 of the other. That the Gemara is going to ask later. But right now we're taking for granted that because of the chidush that's involved in the Menot Tzlofchad's halakim, we mention them as if they are on members of the same set as the batei av, okay? So if that's the case, says Rav Papa, the only way to understand Sefer Yoshua is like this. If you hold that the original chelek was given to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, as our Mishnah points out, that would give Tzlofchad a chelek, and Tzlofchad was a Bechor, so we give him 2 chalokim in Chefer, because Chefer was also in Yotzei Mitzrayim, plus there was Chefer's chelek. I now understand, at least 9 I understand, right? In other words, and we'll see, as we mentioned, there really was another chelek which belonged to a brother of Tzlofchad who had died without descendants, and that was split also between the various families, which included Benot Tzlofchad, and they got a chelek in that too, because they were stand-ins for Tzlofchad in the brother's chelek. Okay. But that right now we're not going to deal with. So at least over there I can get up to 9, right? But, I mean, so you've got the 6 of the Shita Batei Avot, and you've got the Arba Didhu, which equals 10. But if you hold, according to Mandi Omer, that it was only given to the Boy Haaret, so then Tzlofchad never had a chelek. I don't understand. How do you get 10 chalakim? All that they get is Chefer's chelek. Chefer's chelek, who was now, even if you hold Chazorah, of course, right? So Chefer was... No, even if you only hold that Mitzrayim's involvement is Chazara, so all they would get is the Chalakim of Chefer, correct? So if you hold that it was Lobei Haaretz, they get Tmanya. It should only be 8, because you have the Shita of the Shita Batei Avot, plus you've got, as we said, the Chelek of their father, Tzlofchad, in Chefer, and he's a Bechor, which equals 2. But Tzlofchad himself did not have a Chelek, therefore there wasn't a 3rd Chelek to split, so you only have 8. How do you get 10? I understand. How did you get 10? All of a sudden you got 10. I like the way you slipped by us. L'taymech. According to what you were saying, you're saying, L'mandiyom l'yotzei Mitzrayim nischal koretz. It's 10. Lest I heard 6 and 3 equals 9. So it's only tisha havi. So obviously you're making an assumption. So let's talk about that assumption. Ma'it lach l'meimar, that there was another brother that isn't mentioned here, who died, right? Chad achad abe havi lahu. And now the Benot Tzlofchad inherited their uncle also, because their father Tzlofchad was a node to that uncle, which had gone also back to Chefer, down to Tzlofchad, and now to them. Okay, so you're also assuming that you got 10 by postulating a missing man. So Mr. 8 now has 10 by postulating 2 missing men. I mean, once you're talking about postulating, let's keep postulating. Now, Lemaisa, we're not postulating. This actually brings us back to the question of how to understand the pasuk, as we're going to see now. And this is really a machlokas that's expressed in the analysis of the pasuk in a braita. We're not just picking things out of a hat over here to say there was another brother, there was another one. It's not that way. It's as follows. Let's just see that. It said, but there was another brother to Tzlofchad Havilu. So what's the problem? If you hold like the other man, the Omar, so if you hold it's going according to the Nichnasim La'aretz, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yonatan, there must have been 2 uncles. And you can see that from the pasuk. The Tanya. Take a look at the machlokas in this braita, and you will indeed see that there is such a machlokas, whether there's one missing brother or two missing brothers, depending on how you read the pasuk. Not just to fill in the in missing information in Yehoshua. Because what it says in the pasuk as a response to the suit of Benot Zlofchad is, Kein Benot Zlofchad Dovrot, they're absolutely correct. And what shall you do therefore? Here is the psak. Noton titain lahem achuzat nachala betoch achei avihem v'ha'avarta et nachalat avihem lahem. Now this is an awfully wordy psak. So what does each of these words mean? So noton titain lahem, that is in fact what they were demanding. The nachalat avihem, fine. Surely they are right. Give them tzlof chatzchel. Then why do you add betoch achei avihem? Zu nachalat avi avihem. This must be an inheritance that was inherited by the brothers from Hefer. So they too shall inherit amongst the brothers of their father as if they are their father. Oh, now that's that other din, that they will take together, even though they're grandchildren, they will take together with the brothers that are going to inherit from their father. And then why add the words, v'ha'avarta et nachalat aviyem lahem? You already said that. You said naton titein. Ah, because there was a chelek bechora. So there's an additional nachalat aviyem. Zu chelek bechora. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and says, you could see from here that there was also a chelek of an uncle. Af chelek achi aviyem natlu, shenemar naton titein. The double lashon means there is a separate netina right up at the beginning. And according to the Mandiyama, that's from the words achuzat nachala. You don't need an achuza and an nachala. So achuzat nachala means there was an additional chelek hidden between the lines here, which is brother number two, deceased without heirs, that now was split between the surviving brothers or their children, which was Benot Zlofchad again. So we come back to Benot Zlofchad, and we give them yet another chelek. The Omar layer of Papalabai, and another problem is, I don't understand, this is the problem that I mentioned to you earlier. I don't care how you're going to explain the 10. I mean, fine, you got me on that. So it's 10. But the truth is, nobody can properly explain the 10, because then it becomes a pasuk of mixed metaphors. How can you say there were 6 chalakim that belonged to the 6 batei av, and then there were 4 chalakim to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so? I mean, there were thousands of Mr. and Mrs. So-and-sos. So either you're going to list the personal nachalot, or you're going to list the nachalot of the batei avot. How can you add 4 personal chalakim to the 6? One is a member of the set of batei avot, and the others are members of the set of personal nachalot. Yes. Right. Exactly. No, I don't understand. So, Kro Maika Choshev, this pasuk, what is it referring to? If it's referring to Tfalim, now, of course, this Tfalim doesn't mean the same thing as the other Tfalim. This means the descendants of the original family were not now dependents, but in terms of the Batei Av, they're Tfalim. So then, I mean, is that what we're talking about? So then, Tuvahavit, must have been tens of thousands of those people. Why are we only listing 4? And I Batei Avot Kachashiv, then there's only 6, but there's certainly not 10. How do you get 10? Answer the Gemara, no. Obviously, the set is the set of important nachalot, meaning the ones that teach us the rule. So we're talking about the important nachalos in terms of batei avot, plus 4 important personal yerushot that end up teaching the rules of yerusha, which was the Benot Zlofchad story. That has to be part of this first giving over the nachalot as a result of the very basis of the tzivoy of Yerusha Eretz Yisrael through the Benot Zlofchad. And v'akamashmalan, the Benot Zlofchad natnu chelik b'chora, when that additional chelik b'chora, I wouldn't have known it just from the psak, so I might have missed that. And that teaches a tremendous chiddush. Alma, Eretz Yisrael, is indeed muhzeketi. It's not as if it's ra'ui to be given to you. It's as if it already had come into the hands of the batei avot, and therefore the bechorah actually applies to it. Normally, bechorah does not apply if it's only something that would be potentially the property of the deceased, but he never got it, which you'd certainly think is, my God, it's another 50 years, so it's even going to... Doesn't matter. That's not the point. Hefer has a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and it's considered to be muhzeket. I mean, we even use this in terms of writing a prosbul. Right, so in other words, we will write a prosbul based on a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, which is not in your hands, okay? But it's part of the way in which we will write. Okay, let's review. Layer of Papalabaya, Bishlam alaman yom leyotzim Mitzrayim nitchal ka'aretz. Hainu dichtiv l'rav tarben nachlato v'lamat tamit nachlato. El l'man diamen l'ba'e ha'aretz. Mai l'rav tarbu nachlato? Kasha. Yomel erav popla abaya bishleim l'man me'leotzi mitzrayim. Hainu dikatzavcham v'notz lavchav. El l'man diamen l'ba'e ha'aretz amai tzavcham. What are they upset about the fact that their father is not alive? Thank you very much. Halete de lishko. No, but they still were upset about the chazora in terms of lito b'nechse chefer. Bishleim l'mandem l'yotzi mitzrayim. That explains why tekatzavcham b'nei Yosef. Dichtiva yedabru b'nei Yosef et Yoshua l'mor madu anatat li nachala gor alachad and so on and so forth. But if you hold l'mandi omar l'boi ha'aretz, my katzavcha, everybody got the same amount. Kulu shakil, amishum tfeilin to have an officialu. And they didn't shakil because they were too young. Omra baye, it seems clear from the whole story that shmamin lo havechad de lo shakil. The isav gedai tech havechad de lo shakil. Iboile le mitzvah. The chitema de tzavach viahane katve kro. But Tzavach v'lo ahani, lo katvei kra, ho b'nei Yosef t'tzavchei v'lo ahani, v'katvinu kra. Ha t'amei tzatom v'kamash v'dibay lai din sh'tazdori me'in ha'pisha, v'ayinu t'gom alo Yoshua, t'dibayom alayam Yoshua, im am ravata, alay lacha ha'yara, amar lo l'chu v'yichbo atzbechem b'yarim, shalot t'shalot b'chem ha'yin ara, amar lay anan mizari Yosef, t'lo shalot ha'bayin ha'pisha, t'chti ben porat Yosef, Ben Porat Ale Ain Vom Rabbi Abou Altikre Ale Ain Ala Ole Ain. Rabbi Yosef Bechanino Mermiach Vidgularov Bekaravaret, Madagim Shabiyamai Mechasim Alayem, Ve in Ain Arash Sholetet Bayam, Avzarosha Yosef Ena Ain Sholetet Bayam. Miraglim Yoshua Vikolev Natuchal Kaminonimili, Omarul the Omakrov Yeshubin Vikolev Yifene, Choyuminash and Nashima Emai, Choyu Ilme Choyum Mamash. Atif krach rinam lo natamayim ish ki im kalev ben yifune v'yashu benun elamai chayu shechayu b'chalkam mitlonenim v'adat korach lo ayalayim chelek baret v'tanya miragli mitlonenim v'adat korach did have a chelek and Yoshua v'kalev not lo chalkam lo kasha mar makish mitlonenim l'miraglim mar lo makish mitlonenim l'miraglim v'tanya avinu meit b'midbar zet slavchad v'u lo ayah b'toch ha'idah זה עדת מרגלים. הנועדים על השם, אלו מתלוננים. בעדת קורח, כמשמעו. So מר מקיש מתלוננים למרגלים, ומר, because of the missing vav, לא מקיש מתלוננים למרגלים. ויאמר לרב פופלה ביי, ולמאן דמקיש מתלוננים למרגלים, it turns out that איך פה יהושע וכל הוויירת אלו כולו ארץ ישראל, because just about everybody was מתלונן. אמר לה, it doesn't mean anybody complained. It means mitlonanim shabadat korach kamrinan about whom it says hanoadim al Hashem. V'omalei of papal abaye bishleim lemanim eliyotzi mitzrayim nitchalka haaretz. Haynu dichtiv vayiplu chevlei menashe asara. The shita about the avod and the arba didhu equals asara. El leman yomalei boy haaretz. It's only t'man yahuda have it. Shita the shita about the avod. And traded who? Because Slavkar himself didn't have a chelik, and that's only Tmanya. It's still only nine, because you're adding the chelik of Slavkar himself. There must have been a chad achad abba havilu, in which there are yorish, which equals four, plus six is ten. Hachinami trey achid abba havilu, and indeed, the Tanya. Notun titein lehem refers to nachalat aviyem. Betoch achei aviyem refers to nachalat avi aviyem. V'ha'avart et nachalat aviyem lehem refers to the chelek bechora. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer, it also, the chelek achi aviyem is also merumiskan, that they were not. Oshinam are notun titein. V'leman yom etrei achid ava avilu. How about that? Ahu me'achuzat nachalat nafka. The Omalai Rav Papal Abai, I don't understand Bechalal this pasuk, because Kra, my Kachashiv, if it's referring to second generationers, so then it's following Kachashiv Tuva Havi. If it's referring to the original Batei Avod, so then there's only six. The six that are mentioned both in the Chumash and here in Yoshua. Leolam Batei Avod Kachashiv. The reason that it adds the four Benot Zlof Chad, Akamashran, the Bnot Slovchad, Notlu Chelek Bechora, to teach us that Alma Eretz Yisrael Muchzeketi.